نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. Today, inshallah, the lesson we are going to cover is the word-to-word translation of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayahs 11 to 18, which will be followed with the tafsir by Ustaz Najiha Hashmi, inshallah. Ayah number 11. وَإِذَا wa and إِذَا when قِيلَ it was said لَهُمْ to them لَا do not تُفْسِدُ you all do mischief corrupt disrupt في in الأرض the earth قَالُوا they said إِنَّمَا indeed not but نَحْنُ we مُصْلِحِينَ are ones who make peace, are ones who reform. Alas, beware. Innahum, indeed they. Humu, they only. Hum. Al-mufsiduna, are those who do mischief, corruption, disruption. Walakin, but. La, do not. Yash'urun, they perceive. Wa. And إِذَا when قِيلَ it was said لَهُمْ for to them آمِنُوا believe you all believe كَمَا just as like آمَنَ believed الناس the people mankind قَالُوا they said أَنُؤْمِنُوا should we believe كَمَا just as like آمَنَ he believed, as-sufaha, the foolish ones, ala, beware, alas, innahum, inna, indeed, hum, they, humul, they, alone, as-sufaha, are, the foolish ones, wa, and, lakin, but, la, do not, ya'alamun, they know, wa, and, إِذَا when لَقُوا they meet الَّذِينَ those who آمَنُوا they believed قَالُوا they said آمَنَّا we believed وَا and إِذَا when خَلَوْا they were alone إِذَا to with شَيَاطِينِهِمْ their devils their satans قَالُوا they said إِنَّا indeed we مَعَكُمْ مَعَ are with kum you all innama inna indeed ma innama indeed not but nahnu we mustahzi'un are ones who mock Allah ta'ala yastahzi'u he mocks bihim be at him them wayamudduhum and wa and يَمُدُّ he extends them. فِي in طُغْيَانِهِمْ طُغْيَان their transgression, rebellion, crossing limits. يَعْمَهُونَ they wander blindly. أُولَئِكَ those الَّذِينَ are those who أَشْتَرُوا they bartered, purchased. الضَّلَالَ the misguidance. Train bilhuda be with instead of alhuda the guidance fama fa so ma not robihat it gained profited tijaratuhum tijara trade hum there wa and ma not kanu they were muhtadin are ones but who obtain guidance are rightly guided. مثلهم مثل example هم there كمثل is like the example الذي of her الذي استوقد نارا of one who lit a kindled نارا a fire فلما ف then لما when أضاءت it illuminated lighted ما حوله ما what حوله surrounded who him ذهب he went took الله ذهب الله بنورهم الله الله تعالى be with نورهم their light و and تركهم he left them في in ظلمات many darknesses لا do not يبصرون they see صمون they are deaf they are the ones who are deaf صمون بكمون the ones who are dumb عميون the ones who are blind ف so whom they لا not يرجعون okay we start the tafsir So this lesson is ayahs 11 to 18, and this lesson is a continuation of the last lesson in which we left off discussing the munafiqeen. In the last lesson, we learned that there are three groups of people mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. The first ayah deal with the ones with strong yaqeen and iman, the muttaqeen. The second are the kafirin, those who disbelieve, those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third are the munafiqeen, those who claim to believe but do not truly believe. There is no fourth group. All of us fall under one of these three categories. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and protect us from being in the second two categories. So if we want to identify ourselves and where we stand, we need to look at these ayats. Ayat number 11. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ And when it is said to them, make not mischief on the earth, they say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ We are only peacemakers. They say, we make peace. So here the words used are, when it is said to them. Who is saying it to them? Someone is telling them something. Who is telling them? Not to make fasad, not to make mischief. Some people are saying to them, do not make fasad. But what is the meaning of? The people around them are saying, do not make fasad. What is the meaning of fasad here? We often define fasad as bloodshed, corruption, or depravity. But here in this ayah, the real meaning here is the disobedience of Allah. Fasad means sin, disobedience of Allah and sin. Bloodshed and corruption obviously do come under the concept of fasad. But if we are looking at the tafsir, then here, in the real meaning of fasad in this context, if sad fil ard, is disobeying Allah. The earth belongs only to Allah. Only Allah's laws should operate here. Only Allah's hukum is ordered here. Whether we apply this in our own selves, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as a group or as a nation, all of us should be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala individually on a group level and on a national level. Once a person becomes sinful and disobedient, they spread corruption and sin throughout society. One person does it and four other people see it and start following it. Then four or five other people see those four people and they start doing it. And exponentially you have this spread and it keeps spreading and how quickly it spreads. A lesson to learn. Someone does something haram, for example, at a wedding. And some people see it, they might see a recording of it. Immediately they'll be like, hey, did you watch that video of that wedding? They were doing that. We should do that at our wedding or our party. Did you see the kind of dress she wore at that party? I want to do that. And then exponentially this spreads. And behaviors of disobedience and sin spread very fast, very quickly, far more quickly than good. As we continue along ayah 11, we see that some people come to these people and say, do not spread fasad. So what do they reply? Qalu, innama nahnu muslihin. We were the ones making islah. We are the ones making peace. The people come to them and tell them, do not do those things that you are forbidden from. Don't do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you not to do. When they were told this, they would just say that, no, we are the ones, we aren't the ones causing fasad. We are just peacemakers. So when there is a cause of Islam to partake in the context of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were invited to ghazawat, they would refrain and they would reply, no, we don't want to take part in this. It was actually fasad that they were staying back. They would reply, we want to make peace, we don't want to cause trouble, everyone should just get along, we don't want to fight. There is no need for us to do this. We don't need to give dawah and tell people to come to Islam. You know, everyone live your own life, each to its own. Everyone look after your own self. Don't worry about this. We shouldn't be bothered with this. We don't need to do this. We want peace. We are doing Islah. You people are the ones who are causing fights. You people are the ones causing problems. What else falls under this definition of fasad? All of the injustices that are prevalent in the society and the zulm, oppression, injustice and oppression, all of these are fasad. So examples of fasad, taking wealth from the orphan, worshipping idols, not giving women their rights, taking inheritance undeservingly. Unfortunately, it is the Muslim who is supposed to end fasad, but what do we find in our society, in our communities? It is actually the Muslims who are doing the fasad and spreading fasad. They argue that they are the ones fixing things, making peace, making good. But what is another meaning of fasad? Rather, it is the moving of a thing from its proper place. When we break a hukum, a law or an order of Allah, it causes fasad. Let's take two social examples. We have the example of the system of marriage and children born beautifully and safely in wedlock. In the communities in which children are born out of wedlock, out of the proper and correct system, you will find instability, lack of peace, stress, disturbance, chaos, suffering. The children are suffering. The parents are suffering. Their education, their nurturing, their upbringing, their tarbiyah, everything about these children is out of order. And we have enough research to show that this leads to criminal behavior, disease, broken families, violence, and that whole cycle continues with so many more problems. A second example is a system of interest, riba. When the correct system is in its place of not taking interest and not involving riba, when this was moved out of its place, we had this unrelenting, biting, destructive system of wealth imbalance. The rich became richer, the poor became poorer to unbelievable levels, where one group of people may not have food for one meal, while the other people's dogs have gourmet dishes. And when these people see the other, when they witness the injustice, there's anger, there is hatred. Seeing the injustice, what resulted? What resulted? Theft, crime, violence, extreme poverty, violence, murders, corruption. Then the whole nation is dysfunctional. So it's not simply one person disobeying one element of the deen, one hukum, one law, one command. No, we have seen these examples. It spreads infectiously throughout the whole community, the whole country, the whole world. Breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fasad. So in the context of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, these people are being told to do something by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they are disobeying. We learn another thing about the munafiq here, that when they do fasad, first of all, they do fasad. Second of all, they do wrong and they think that it is right. It is also mentioned in the Quran that shaitan beautifies these people's evil deeds. They think that they are Muslim and they think that they are doing the right thing. And how many times do we do the wrong thing and it looks good and we think it is good and we do it and we tell other people to do it? Don't we think that we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't we think when we are carrying out an act of disobedience? I'm sure you can think of many examples. But the point is to not think that evil is good. This is the lesson that we take from here. To analyze what are we doing in terms of disobedience and is it truly good or has shaitan made it beautified for us? Another thing we learn about the Munafiq here is that they don't accept their mistakes. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in ayah number 12? Ala innahum humul mufsiduna walakin la yash'urun. They are the ones who make mischief, but they do not. Yash'urun, they do not realize it. They have no idea. So we learn something else about the Munafiq, that they lack in understanding. The way we say, you don't get it. So they don't get it. Right? They don't have sense. It's not that they aren't educated. It's not about reading and writing and being educated. But understanding is for a human to understand, to truly understand. This is a quality that very few people have. Intellect, true intellect and true consciousness is not just about having an intelligence quotient. It's not about IQ. It's about truly having the gift of understanding. In ayah 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا. And it is told to them, believe as the others believe. They sarcastically ask, should we believe as the fools? Allah, they themselves are fools, if only they could understand. So these people are told believe, so they say, yeah, we believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, believe. كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. Believe in the way other people have believed. What does that mean? What kind of belief is that, آمَنَ النَّاسِ? What kind of belief do the nas have? What kind of iman is that? Here in this ayah, they are simply being asked to believe like the other people, the other normal people, common people. They are not even being asked to believe like the great Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum. They are just being asked, believe like the nas, like the normal people. Not everyone in that community was like Abu Bakr, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum. Not everyone was the same. Not everyone was Hamza and Talha, but they were ordinary Sahaba. Why not believe at least like that? Not like the Ashra al Mubashara, not like the great Sahaba that we remember. Ordinary Muslims. At least their faith was true, even if it was not like Abu Bakr's. So they're saying, should we believe like the fools believe? Who are they referring to as fools? Those who have true iman. What does sufaha mean? So, the one who doesn't care about the future, investing in their future planning, these people were considered fools. So the munafiqeen used to be like, well, look at these people who are sufaha, because they are not planning and plotting and investing right. Because in Mecca, the Muslims were very rich. Those who immigrated to Medina, like Abu Bakr, they were very well established and wealthy. They had everything, homes, businesses, wealth. But they left everything and sacrificed all their wealth and homes and everything to live essentially like refugees in Medina. If not exactly like refugees, but immigrants. So they thought it was very foolish looking at them. The Munafiqeen, they used to look at Uthman and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, very, very wealthy companions. And even when they did earn anything in Medina, they would again sacrifice everything whenever the need arose. They didn't leave anything for their families. They just got up and went. They spent in military expeditions. They spent whenever Medina needed them. So they used to look at them and say, they're not invested anything here. Should we be like these people? For these people, it's just Islam, Islam, Islam. Everything is Islam. And they couldn't see any benefit in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. Sorry, not no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alas, beware. They are fools because they can't see how much these people are investing in the akhirah. They will see the fruits of their effort on the day of judgment. And the munafiqeen will see their lack of effort on the day of judgment. They will realize that day that they were the fools. And even today, you will see people considered as fools. People talk about those who turn to the deen. Oh, he was normal before, but then he became religious, and then you know, look at him putting, look at her putting all that extra time, extra energy. They could have put that to a business or some other real profit. Right, what is this time in Quran and reading and learning knowledge? They consider this foolishness. People don't even think and they cause fasad. No one will come out and say, you know, I'm doing the wrong thing, join me. No, everyone thinks that they are doing the right thing. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us aqal, intelligence, understanding, so we can differentiate between all these people saying these things and figure out what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is good. We also think like this. We don't know how we would think if we were at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who knows how we would have reacted if we were watching the Sahaba doing all that. We don't know how we would have reacted. What would we call them? Would we, perhaps we would have called them extremists. Perhaps we would have said all sorts of things that we can't even bring to our lips here. We make all these claims about wishing we were there with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I wish I was there at that time, but we don't know. Even today when we see someone becoming religious or acting upon the deen, giving time for the deen, or making their akhirah, building their akhirah, becoming practicing, we start saying all sorts of things. And no one today is doing anything even close to what the Sahaba did. Yet we call them obsessive about the deen, extreme, or doing too much. We say they've gone crazy. Do we think any different from the munafiqeen? And we learn with the style of speech here in this ayah, aminu, believe in the way the people believe. It is a beautiful instruction. So often in our lifestyle, we are mean or rude or sarcastic. But this here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us a better way. Come, believe, aminu. Why don't you believe like everyone else does? Why do we just go out and say, instead, you know what, you know, your actions are like the munafiqeen. I think you're acting like the munafiqeen. Actually, I think you are a munafiq. We won't find at the time of the Prophet ﷺ saying things like this, or people, the Sahaba saying things like this, nor do we find the Prophet ﷺ himself, nor the Sahaba pointing fingers at others, indicating that this one's a munafiqeen, that one's a munafiqeen. No. In their time, they were more concerned about themselves and what they were internally. Their gaze wasn't on others, finding faults in others. There is so much we can learn about our own character with these ayat. Munafiqeen, a munafiq, is someone who just goes with the wind, wherever they are. They just go where the wind blows. They go here, and they go there, and they follow this one, and they follow that one, going around and around, being whatever they need to be, wherever it suits them. Ayah number 14. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And when they meet the believers, they say, we are believers. When they are alone with their shayateen, they say, we are really with you. We were only mocking the believers. So when they meet the Muslims, the true believers, they say, we believe. They make claims, they make them constantly. They don't have iman in their heart, so they have to keep telling people. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا. So when they are alone with their shayateen, they say, إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. We were with you, we were just joking with them. So these are people that had a flaw inside them. They went and they acted like whoever they were with. Now, shayateenihim. What is the meaning of shaytan here? It is not Iblis, the actual shaytan. Rather, shayateen is the leaders of the disbelievers, the leaders of the munafiqeen, the leaders of the Yahud in Medina who were against Islam. These were the friends of the munafiqeen. So it's not just that jinns have that jinns have shayateen, but also amongst the humans too, there are shayateen. Everyone who deviates you and rebels. People of deviation and rebellion, these are all shayateen. There is a hadith in which we seek refuge in the shayateen amongst the jinn and the shayateen amongst the humans. So we need to seek refuge and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from the human shayateen too, because we often become deceived and we end up trusting people simply because they are human, right? And we don't identify them as shayateen. So we need to seek refuge in the shayateen amongst the jinn and the shayateen amongst the humans. Because these people, they take us away from the path of Allah. And when they go to the Muslims, they say one thing, and when they go there, they say, we were with you, we were just joking with the Muslims. So what type of psychology do we learn about here? A person that doesn't belong here nor there. They just care about their prophet. They can't be trusted. They are two-faced. Even in our regular, not in a religious context, but in our normal day-to-day lives, no one likes people who are two-faced. No one likes these people. No one likes the munafiqeen in the world either. And here, istihza, mustahzi'un, they were mocking. So what did they do? This type of mocking is the type of mocking when you look down at someone, so you think that they are less than you, and then you mock them. It's not just mocking. It's mocking, the type of mocking when you look down on someone, and then you mock them, then you laugh at them condescendingly. All of this is together, mocking at them condescendingly. Often we do this as well, and we see people do this, sitting in a religious gathering and acting religious and boasting and claiming about all their good deeds and their tahajjud and their salah and their charity and all sorts of good things that they do. And I'm involved in this thing and I'm involved in that activism in the deen and I'm doing this, that and the other. But then you see these same people in a non-religious environment and it's as though they have forgotten everything, as though no good ever even touched them in any way, as though they never knew a thing about good in their life. Now, we don't call anyone a munafiq because nifaq is in the heart. It is a condition of the heart. But behavior, yes, we can say this behavior is the behavior of the munafiqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to identify the behavior of the munafiqeen. When the heart has faults, the actions show. Our actions show the state of our heart. And Ustaza has repeated this many times throughout. Our actions are the proof of what is happening in our heart. So these people are enemies. And these are enemies that are worse than open enemies. Because we never know when they will stab us. Why? Because they are the type of people to stab us in the back. We can't see them for who they are. We cannot see their animosity. They show you that they are your friends, but really, they are your enemies inside. We don't protect ourselves from them. It is a terrible thing. Even if someone is a hypocrite in this dunya, they're two-faced, it's terrible. But from a religious perspective, when we're discussing things in the light of the deen, it is even worse. The consequences are disastrous because they damage our akhirah. And they damage the roots of Islam. This is why the munafiqeen are in the lowest levels of Jahannam. People look at them and say, oh, these are the good Muslims, right? People from outside our deen, they look at them, they look at them and they say, these are the good Muslims, these are the right ones. This is how Muslims should be, not like those crazy ones. So we need to be alarmed if we see these symptoms within ourselves. If I see this within myself, if I'm with the sinners and I'm like them, and then when I go to the madrasa, when I go to the masjid, the halaqa, the gathering of the righteous, when I'm here with you all, am I a complete different person and I'm really good? Then I'm something else when I'm with my non-Muslim friends or those Muslims who do not practice properly. We need to fix this. We need to reflect on this. We do not even want an atom's worth of nifaq inside us. Not an atom's worth of hypocrisy inside us. Symptoms show how much nifaq we have. So however we are behaving in this manner, this is the level of nifaq we have within us. So they say, we were just joking with the Muslims. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in ayah number 15? Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw back their mockery on them and leave them alone in their trespasses so they wander to and fro like the blind. Now the words here is Allah. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. So to use this word, istihza, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks down on someone and mocks them, it doesn't befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristic. It is not a good characteristic, is it? It is not his attribute, nor is his name any of this. There is no mustahzi in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it says here in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mocks them. What do we understand by this? That what goes around, comes around. You treat others this way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it back. It will make it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it come back to you. This is why the translation says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw back their mockery on them according to what they did. According to what you did, you will get what you deserve. Now, a note about the concept of punishment. What you do is what you get. So what you do, your punishment will be in accordance with that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mocking them because they are mocking others. And because this is fi'al mudari, it will be in the future tense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to mock them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mocking them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to mock them according to what they did. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say this? He could have said, if you mock the believers will mock you back. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will mock them. Subhanallah, it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to the defense of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers and they are his friends. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come for them on behalf of them to deal with their enemies. They don't need to say anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak for them. This week, Ustaza has given us a task, and that is to create a separate set of notes about Amal. So this Amal is our actions that we need to take as we learn these lessons. So as we take notes, she asks us to highlight the actions that we need to take that she will teach us about. And she mentions this as she goes along, that this is an actionable item, if you like. So what we understand here is if I don't do dhulam, if I am honest, and I fix myself, and I keep things well, I keep myself well, it doesn't matter how many people speak against us, how many people laugh at us, how many people mock us, and try to put us down, even if we speak up or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak for us. So we don't need to waste our energy, our minds, our time. We just need to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the forefront, and he will take care of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it when his slaves, his loved ones, are mocked. We need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have patience, and see what happens. And we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of our matters and the people who come after us. And no doubt, it is very painful indeed when someone puts us down and laughs at us, when we are considered low and worthless and then laughed at. It feels terrible. It's very painful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there. And we said that the word used for mockery here was mudariya, meaning that it implied future tense. So Allah will mock them in the future. What does this mean? Also, it means the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them and repay their mockery. On the day of judgment, there will be a terrible and complete darkness. And these people will be given a light. Then, after being given that light, soon afterward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away that light, and they will be in darkness again. They used to make fun of the mu'mineen in the dunya. They got light, so they became really happy, thinking that they will be saved too, just like the mu'mineen. But it will be taken away. Now they're searching for it. They are calling out. They are calling the mu'mineen, saying, give us some light. Give us some light. Help us. But this will be the mockery on that day. And there will be another mockery. They will be called towards Jannah, from the gates of Jannah. And so they will think that they will also enter Jannah. So they will run towards that door. But when they go close, they will find that door will close. Then they will find themselves being called from another door. So they will run towards that door. And when they come close again, that door will also close. And then they will be called from another door. And when they run and come close to that door will also close. You used to mock, right? You used to mock those who were close to Allah. You used to mock them. Those who were loved by Allah. Those who were true and honest. You called them crazy. You used to mock them. You used to look down upon them. The Day of Judgment is coming. And then they will see the result of this mockery. And another thing, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 15, وَيَمُدُّ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave them alone in their trespasses to wander to, and they wander to and fro like the blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them leave in their rebellion. What does that mean? When you give someone leave, like you give them some time to do what they want, basically. Ya'amahun means to be blind in the heart, stressed out, to be shocked. They are not finding a path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't catch them immediately. They have been given time. We can think, right, they should be caught, they should be punished immediately, they're so cruel. They're carrying torture and thulam and oppression on others. They should be dealt with right away. This is how we think when we see them. Immediately, all of these people, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala catch them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system isn't like this. He doesn't grab these people immediately. He gives them time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them time to give them blessings, to give them more options. And they grow and they flourish. So they think they are right. They think, if I was wrong, would I be given all of these things? I'm living the life, I'm getting it all, I must be right. If a sudden punishment and terrible thing happened to them, some torment, some calamity, some immediate punishment, they would what? Immediately turn back, and they would be like, oh, yeah, I made that person suffer, that's why this punishment came to me. Human beings end up thinking about it. Their conscience awakens by this sort of thing. But if these people are sinful and keep on sinning, and continue sinning, like the munafiqeen, and they have the characteristics of the munafiqeen, they think everything is fine. They're sinning, everything's fine. They're being blessed, and they are flourishing. Would they think that they are doing anything wrong? They wouldn't. When everything is fine, when we have wealth, when we have health, we have vacations, a great job, a great family, we're being promoted, the house looks good, the family's well, we have everything, we do not think about what we are doing. In terms of our sinning and transgressing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we think, is it possible that I'm sinning and I'm doing wrong and I'm just being given, Do we think within ourselves that I am sinning and I am doing wrong? Is it possible that I am being given the kind of time that is leave? Is it just a test? Is it just one of those things? Am I one of those people that I am sinning and I am doing wrong and nothing is happening to me? There is no punishment. I'm being blessed and I am flourishing. Have I just been given leave? Remember, that is, if a person is sinning and doing something wrong and they are still being given the state of being spared and they are not being grabbed or punished, then we need to see a parable to understand this. Imagine a dog or an animal who is on a leash. And imagine this leash is incredibly long. It's unbelievably long. It is a mile long. Imagine what would happen to this dog if he is running full speed with no worries. He's just running full speed ahead. No worries, no concerns. And then as he runs and runs and runs, not knowing, not thinking about this leash, and he hits that 1 mile mark. And then he goes beyond that mark. How hard will this animal snap back? It would break his neck and choke him, and his eyes would be bulging out. Then imagine a dog who has a small, short leash, maybe about a meter. It doesn't go very far, and it doesn't choke either, because it doesn't have that capacity. The one with the long leash, imagine that choking, and imagine the awfulness of that choking. This is what we understand as the concept of istidraj. When you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person material things of the worldly life which he desires, whilst he remains persistent in sinning, then know that this is istidraj from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qalam, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grab them so slowly, they won't even know. It will happen so slowly, in such slow stages, that la ya'lamun, they won't know. Or they think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just ignoring them. It doesn't matter if they're disobeying, rebelling, and persisting in sin. They think nothing will happen to them. They've been torturing people, we have been oppressing people for so long, and nothing happens. But ultimately, when they transgress all bounds, when they reach that limit of that leash, like that dog, and that leash snaps back, they will not survive that. So what is the notes, Ustaza says, this is what I mentioned earlier, the notes that we need to take in terms of our amal. What do we need to do? What is the actionable item? We need to never think that our luxuries and our good life and our good times are indicative of everything being fine. This is not a standard to judge ourselves. Amal is a different thing. Being granted luxuries is a different thing. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants to catch people once. And even in the dunya, you'll hear people say this. You know, if Islam is right, then why are Muslims in such a pitiful state? Why are Muslims so poor, doing so badly, when the non-Muslims are flourishing and thriving and successful and enjoying themselves? There must be something great about them. That's why they must be doing right and doing well. Islam must be wrong. That's why the Muslims are doing badly. No, this is not a standard. This is just a leave. They've been given leave. They've been given a space of time, just a bit of time. Ayah number 16. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These are the people who have bartered guidance for error. So these people have purchased misguidance. They have bought misguidance in place of hidayah. How is that possible? If someone sells diamonds and then they bought a rock instead with it, is that possible? Yes, it's possible, because sometimes hidayah comes to a person. Hidayah knocks on someone's door, but they leave it. This is a trade, and these kinds of trades come up in our lives every day. This is something we need to write down in our action notes. We have a choice. We can choose guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or misguidance from shaitan and his path. Buy means exchange. So they swapped. So buying is like you're exchanging two things, right? So they swapped guidance, exchanged guidance for misguidance. They gave guidance and got misguidance instead. Hidayah is such a huge diamond. Of all sorts of hidayah, all sorts of hidayah is diamonds. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. So their bargain was profitless. It only brought loss. Hidayah sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? Everyone you hear about is talking about wishing for hidayah. I wish I had hidayah. Oh, I wish I was guided. It sounds beautiful to say. But when guidance actually comes, and where does it come? Where does it come from? Does it come from a shop? No, it comes from Quran. This is hidayah. What we are doing now, this is hidayah. It comes from this book. But guidance, when it comes, and they are called to it. They say, you know what, no, we are fine. We're fine. We're fine. We don't need to join you. We don't need to learn this. We don't need to know. We're happy with our darkness. We are satisfied with our misguidance. And they don't know what is right. What is wrong? Because they don't want to follow. And they say, you know, I don't want to follow it. That's why I don't want to learn about it. How? You don't want to know about what you need to do and what is right and what is wrong because you don't want to follow it. And I don't want to do the amen because I don't want, and so therefore I don't want to know about it. These people were invited to Hidayah, but they preferred darkness. You can take it. You can learn Quran now if you want to. They can take it. The munafiqeen, you don't want to know about. Excuse me. The munafiqeen, they were invited to Hidayah, but they did this trade. But today, this trade is so common to exchange Hidayah for misguidance. Can we see the loss in this trade? Today, we can't see the loss in this trade. Today, it looks beneficial to not study, to not learn, to not become religious, to be free, to be fine, to live your life the way you want to live your life. But this trade will ultimately prove to be extremely detrimental and with a huge loss. When will we learn this? When will people learn this? They will only learn this when their eyes close, we will only learn this when our eyes close for the final time, for the last time. That is when we will learn what trade I did and what I should have done. It was such a huge thing that I lost. I had the opportunity, but I let it go. I chose to be misguided. So let's look at the word ishtara in Ayah 16. It was a style of speaking that the thing they preferred, so something that they wanted, they used to say, so the thing that they had a preference for, they used to say, I have bought this. So here, what was the preference given to? Misguidance. And what was it preferred over? Guidance. What did they choose? Misguidance. The worst thing is that people are satisfied with this misguidance and are happy with it. And they think they made a beneficial deal. They think they actually profited from that. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ But their bargain was profitless. They thought they were so guided. They never got guidance though. And they never will. Coming up now in the next two verses, there are two beautiful examples and they are very deep. They show the two types of munafiqeen. They illustrate the two types of munafiqeen. In Ayahs 17 and Ayah 18, there will come up the situation of those who are hopeless cases, like there is no hope for them. And in the second cases mentioned in Ayah 19 and Ayah 20, there is a chance for them. The door is still open and they may turn back. They can turn back if they would like. So there are degrees of nifaq. The first one, Ayah 17 and 18, is really bad and there is no hope at all. It's like the last stage of a disease that Ustaza mentioned last time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove nifaq from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with iman and that we don't meet our Rabb, our Lord, with any nifaq. We say ameen to Ustaz's dua. Ayah number 17. مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِينَ اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا Their example is of the man who lit a fire. This is strange, because the example being given about the munafiqeen is as one person, even though the munafiqeen is a group of people. So why is one man being depicted here? Some scholars say that when a parable appears for a group, then a singular example is given. So a singular parable is given in the singular. Nifaq is a heart-related disease. So with this parable and this example, we are able to picture it. Otherwise, you can't really see it. So if you imagine one man with a heart, you can really grasp this concept that is being illustrated. And there are many parables in the Quran that are given so that you can see some picture or imagery or understand what is being said. So the parable of the Munafiqeen is that of a man. There will be two different types of tafsir for this parable, and we will look at it one way, and then we will look at the other way, so that the teacher says. The first one is about a man who, with the fire, the first one is about a man who, with the fire, had lit up his environment. Everything around him was lit up. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the light, and the light died out. And now, ذهب الله بنورهم وتركهم. Now here, نورهم and تركهم both are mentioned in the plural tense. So now they are in darkness and they can't see anything. So this is an example of a person who is in the desert, and for great distances there is nothing, no light, nothing. There is a complete darkness, and this person lit a fire. And the fire lit up the whole area. And the word here is ضيئة. ضاعت ما حوله. So this kind of light is a light that it has a little bit of warmth in it. In the desert, it's very cold at night, right? Very, very cold. And the warmth of this kind of light makes the person feel safe. And it also drives away any animals. So this type of fire that this man lit, it's full of blessings. Now the second example is that there is a man who is istawqada nara, who lit a fire, and this man is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he lit up the environment and the light filled everything, after that there was a darkness. Before that, there was a darkness everywhere. Darkness of kufr, darkness of ignorance, darkness of shirk, darkness of misguidance. And in this darkness, the Prophet ﷺ spread the light of Islam. Everything was filled with light. The world became illuminated. It is so hard to live in darkness. Everyone lights up their homes at night. For if the light goes out, it's so difficult because we can't see what is beneficial to us and what is harmful to us. Light is a necessity of the human being. It is safety. It is protection. The Prophet ﷺ lit up the light of Islam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lit up the environment and the surroundings, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away that light. So the one sitting around their light, the one sitting, their light was taken away. People came into the light. They could see. But from the munafiqeen, the light was taken away. And now they have been left in darkness. Now they can't see. What does this mean? Let's explain it a little further. Islam's light had reached. These people started seeing with this light. They got to see everything. Meaning, these people accepted Islam. But what happened after that? The nifaq inside them, the faultiness inside them, their own nur, their own light went away. So there is light outside, but they are blind. Before there was darkness outside, but then the light came. And when the light came, they were the ones who became blind. So who is being mentioned here? Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud and others mention that the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina. When he came, people started to become Muslim, and then they became munafiqeen. So with this example, the Prophet ﷺ came and the light arrived, and so they saw the light too and they accepted Islam. But afterward, their light went away because they were not truthful. So now they went back into darkness. So this is a terrible loss when a person is shown the light, but they say, oh, it's too difficult, it's too hard, there are too many challenges, too many requirements, we didn't know that we have to do so much. After this, they start turning away. That's when darknesses arrive. The word is not ظلمت, it's ظلمات, plural. Several darknesses. In the beginning, There was a lot of excitement about Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had arrived to Medina, and there was the victory at Badr. But when sacrifices were needed, and halal and haram were outlined, and the rules were dictated, everything changed. That is when they turned away. Ibn Kathir says, it was not as if they never saw Islam. They did see Islam. They had been given Iman. But then they became lost in the confusion. Nifaq isn't just that a person comes into Islam and fakes Islam and decides that they will be a disbeliever on the inside and a fake Muslim on the outside just to deceive the Muslims. No, this is not the only type of hypocrite, the only type of munafiq. The Jews in Medina at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, this was their behavior. This is what they used to do. But there is another type of nifaq. Nifaq and hypocrisy also happen when people come in with a good and true intention. They come to Islam with a good and true intention, but then they see that there's so much required, they turn back. SubhanAllah. And another thing to note is that binurihim, nur is one. Dhulamat is plural. The path of haq is only one. The path of truth is only one. The paths of misguidance are many. The path of truth is one, but paths of misguidance are many, many. Shirk is a path, nifaq is a path, kufr, sins, bid'at is a path. All of these are zulumat, so many different types of darknesses. Today, when you go out, as I explained this parable before, it's like a jungle. So many, it's like someone walking through the jungle and they can hear so many different voices calling out different messages. Some saying hadith doesn't exist or it's not right, it's not reliable. Someone else claiming that there is another prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others are saying this and others are saying that. There are so many different types of misguidances. But Sirat al-Mustaqim is just one. And misguided paths are so many. One step can misguide someone. There are so many doors that are open. One wrong step can take a person down the wrong path. The test in this life is that we have to keep on the straight path and keep going. And the ones who don't have knowledge, the ones who were saying, as we covered before, that I don't want to know, I want to stay in the darkness. They are in so much danger to slip because all sorts of people are calling them from all sorts of sides. We learned the hadith last time about the hadith about the path, and the path had many doors and there were many callers, and we have to keep ourselves on the straight path and keep walking straight. We covered that. And these people, they became Muslim. Right, these people at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they became Muslim, and they used to sit in the same gatherings as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same gathering as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and the same gathering as the other Sahaba. And what did the great Sahaba take from that gathering, and what did these people take? Those gatherings were filled with light, with the light of guidance. The same gathering, yet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. But the others were left in the dark. The other great Sahaba became who they were. And these are other people who were left in the dark. So people don't know when they may be left unfortunate. This is something that should awaken us. Someone might say, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken their nur, so poor things. Not poor things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it away because there was a reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors. And if you are insistent on choosing the doors of misguidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of misguidance. We learned before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who want to do good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens door after door of goodness and guidances, and it just opens and opens for those people who want to keep going along the path of goodness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise opens the doors of misguidance for those who don't want goodness. Now in the last ayah, And we end with this part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says now in ayah 18, Summun bukmun umyun, dumb, deaf, dumb, and blind. They are in the same gatherings as the Sahaba. Yet, if we look at, for example, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he used to sit with everyone, with the Prophet ﷺ, listening to the haqq, but he didn't hear it. The rest of the munafiqeen couldn't hear it. Suppose someone were to become deaf. At least they could communicate via making sounds, speaking. But no, they are dumb. Dumb as in mute, unable to speak. They are also blind. And they will, la yarji'un, they won't turn back. It is a hopeless case. They will not come back. And they won't come back to guidance. It is especially hard now because imagine when someone, it's very hard now at this stage, because imagine if someone suddenly turns off the light. It is a life of stress and bewildering. And this is how we find these people in confusion and in stress. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We end here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.